احنا ready when you want ان شاء الله.
أدي إن شاء الله.
طيب، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to our 63rd lesson of أصول الثلاثة, the three fundamental principles, with our honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. I'm sure many brothers and sisters will be watching this later. We have had a change in timing in the UK. So the time is to be matched according to your country time. Please match it, inshallah, and attend next lesson as usual. Without any further delay, I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh. Sheikh can begin. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا شيخ سالم العمري.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, ثلاثة الأصول, the three fundamentals, by the Sheikh al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad bin Abd al-Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And we reach what the author is saying, وَأَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ الرُّسُلِ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. Allah sent all of the messengers giving good, glad tidings, good news and warnings. The proof for this is Allah saying in Surah An-Nisa, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. We sent messengers as bringers of good tidings and warners, so that mankind will have no argument against Allah after the messengers. And ever is Allah exalted in might and wise. So this beautiful ayah, Surah An-Nisa, tells us the wisdom why Allah sent messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil, just, and he will never wrong anyone. He will never do that. As a matter of fact, he said in the hadith, Qudsi ya ibadi, O my servant, inni harramtu al-dhulma ala nafsi wa ja'altahu baynakum muharrama fala tadhalamu. O my servant, I have made injustice prohibited for myself. I will never be unjust to anyone. And I made it prohibited among yourselves that you should never wrong each other. فَلَا تَظَالَمُ. Should never wrong each other. Because ظُلْم, injustice, is an ignoble quality. Doesn't suit Allah's glory, Allah's majesty and highness. He's the most high. He's the king. He's the owner. So he will not wrong anyone. Because the one who transgresses and wrongs others. He's not a perfect person. He has problems. He has deficiencies within himself. And sometimes the weak are the ones who wrong. When the weak is in power, he misuses that power. But Allah is the most powerful, and he is not afraid of anyone. He's Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. He's not in need of any one of us. He's the Ghani, the self-sufficient. He has self-sufficiency, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not in need of anyone. We are in need of him. We are totally dependent on him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dhulm is an attribute of imperfection. And no attribute of imperfection can be attributed to Allah. Never. His attributes are the most perfect attributes. That's why we always say, Subhanallah, which means Allah is far away from any imperfection. Imperfection is an inherent characteristic of each one of us, human beings. We are imperfect. But Allah, the most perfect, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why his names are the most beautiful names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَتْحُهُ بِتَعَالَى. The most beautiful names belongs to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most perfect attributes belong to him only. Glory be to him. So because he's adil, and you have to understand, when you study the names of Allah, pay attention to this, because knowing Allah through his names builds up one's iman. And the names, as you know, and we mentioned this many times, the names of Allah, they have meanings, and the meaning of the name is the attribute of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adil. He's the just. And you have to keep in mind, my dear brothers and sisters, whenever Allah azza wa jal confirms or affirms for himself an attribute, that attribute which he affirms will be, of course, an attribute of perfection. But also, you have to believe in the opposite and negate it. So he is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, just. So justice is an attribute of Allah, al-adl. What's the opposite? You have to now negate the opposite. What's the opposite of justice? Injustice, dhulm. So you have to believe that Allah is just, and you negate the opposite, which is the dhulm, that Allah will never wrong anyone. So always keep in mind this rule. Whenever Allah affirms an attribute, He negates its opposite. He negates its opposite. He says, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He hears, He sees. So He affirms here the attributes of hearing and seeing, and negates the opposite. Blindness is negated, and deafness. So whenever Allah affirms an attribute, the opposite is negated. The opposite is negated. And whenever He negates an attribute, the opposite is affirmed. The opposite is affirmed. So when He says, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, and your Lord will never wrong anyone, so He negates injustice here and wronging anyone. So He negates this attribute, injustice. So He affirms the opposite, which is justice. So keep in mind now and memorize this rule. Whenever Allah affirms an attribute for Himself, He negates its opposite. And whenever He negates an attribute, He affirms its opposite for Himself. And this is what we have to do. Okay? Why? Because the kamal and perfection takes place only. The absolute perfection happens and takes place in the presence of the affirmation and the negation. So there must be there affirmation, negation, then perfection will happen. Affirmation by itself, not necessarily means uniqueness. Neither affirmation nor negation will make you unique. For example, if a teacher says, this student is intelligent, bright, so he affirms the intelligence and the brightness and the smartness of this pupil, this student. Does this mean make that student unique in the classroom? Is he the only one? No. Perhaps there's another one, but it's not mentioned. So by just saying this student is intelligent, bright, smart, doesn't mean he's the only one. Because you just merely affirm and say this one, this student is intelligent. He's not singled out. He's not singled out. The same thing if you say this student, okay, is lazy. He always gets F's in his exams. Does this mean make that student also unique, that there's no other student who is lazy in the classroom? No. So neither the affirmation will make you unique, not the negation by itself will make you unique. When you will become unique? If there is affirmation and negation at the same time. There is no student in the classroom who's intelligent except X student. So now I have negation and then affirmation. So this student is singled out. He became unique. There's no one in the class who's intelligent except himself, that person. So the perfection, the kamal, uniqueness, being singled out, will only actualize in the presence of negation and affirmation. I hope you are following. So that's why whenever we affirm an attribute of Allah, we negate the opposite, because he's unique and he should be singled out, and his perfection is unique. And whenever we negate an attribute, we affirm the opposite to achieve the uniqueness and to single him out. The people of the bid'ah, the deviant sects, whether they are Jahmites, Ash'arites, Mu'tazilites, all, when you read in their books, they just keep negating, negating, negating. And they think by that, they attribute perfection to Allah. So you'll find them saying, Allah is not like this, Allah is not like that, just negating, negating. This proves not perfection and uniqueness. It doesn't prove that, as was just explained. So you'll find them in their books. They are just in the books of Aqidah, they keep just negating, negating. Allah Azza wa Jal, they say, Allah is not outside the world, not inside the world. And they think by that they have attributed perfection to Allah, when indeed they are denying. They negate the existence of Allah. And you find them, Allah la dakhil al-alam wa la kharijahu. Allah is neither inside the creation nor outside the creation. So where is he? There's no Rabb. There's no Rabb. That's why the Salaf, they said, they have lost their Lord. They don't know their creator. So there's no existence. If you want to define nothingness, you'll not find a better example than that one, which they have given. That's why Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentioned in his poem, An-Nuniyya, he said, لَا تَعْدُمُوهُ بِقَوْلِكُمْ لا تعدموه بقولكم لا تعدموه بقولكم لا داخل فينا ولا هو خاري الأكوان لا تعدموه بقولكم لا داخل فينا ولا هو خاري الأكوان نزهتموه بجهلكم عن عرشه وحصرتموه نزهتموه بجهلكم عن عرشه وحصرتموه في مكان ثاني. What he's saying, لا تعدموه بقولكم. Never say that is non-existent. You make Allah non-existent. He doesn't exist by saying, لا داخل فينا. He's neither inside his creation nor outside his creation. So what is he? There's no ilah. That is non-existence, nothingness, adam. لا تعدموه بقولكم لا داخل فينا ولا هو خاري الأكوان. نزحتموه بجهلكم عن عرشه وحصرتموه في مكان ثاني. شيء. نزحتموه. You deny. Okay. His existence that is above the throne. And then you confined him in another place. You are saying he is neither outside his creation, nor is it inside his creation, and that is nothingness and non-existence. And then you say, and you contradict yourself and say, God is in everywhere. Allah fi kulli makan. So you confine him in everything. So these deviant sects, they just keep the negating, and they do not affirm any quality of Allah. And if they affirm a quality, they do not negate the opposite. But Ahlul Sunnah, they affirm the attributes which Allah affirmed for himself and qualified himself with, and they negate the opposite. Now, coming to this ayah, Surah An-Nisa, ayah 164. Allah says, رُسُولًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْدِرِينَ. Because he's just, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he hates injustice and dhulm. He sent the messengers. What do these messengers do? مبشرين ومنذرين. They are مبشرين, givers of good news, and warners. Warners. So this is the da'wah. ترغيب and ترهيب. You give good news and also you warn. Not always you just keep in your da'wah ترغيب ترغيب ترغيب. So the people relax. All your talks, you Muslims are sweet. You Muslims are, alhamdulillah, we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the Muslims that will enter the Jannah, and whoever says la ilaha illallah will enter the Jannah. So everyone crosses his legs and relax. Alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So I am going to the Jannah. So I can do whatever I want. Like the Christians. Jesus Christ died for my sins. So he took my sins, he bore my sins. So salvation is guaranteed. Yes, some Muslims, they believe like that today. I am from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. No salah, no siyam, no zakah, no hajj, nothing, nothing. Fighting the deen, ridiculing the deen. Just before I start this talk, a brother sent me a clip. Muslims now, they are celebrating the Halloween. Drifting away. People are drifting away from the deen. And you are telling them you are fine, you are okay, because you are Muslims by name. You're tranquilizing them. You're telling them, remain as you are. We are the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. That's not fair. And that's not love. And that's not wisdom. Wisdom is to follow the footsteps of the prophets of Allah. That's the wisdom. And how they give the da'wah. And they are the role models for us and the good examples. So you have to use both styles depending on the situation. And that's how you know people, we should worship Allah. We should be always in the state of hope and fear, hope and fear. Not always hope, hope, hope. Allah ghafoor al-raheem. No, fear. Because if you're just thinking of Allah as most kind, most merciful, then you will cross the limits he set. And you will commit the sins. And Allah gets angry when his boundaries, the limits, the hudud, the sanctuaries are trespassed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent the Rasul, Mubashirin wa Mundirin. So this is the message and the mission of all prophets. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing both. He talks to them about the Jannah till they feel that they are in the Jannah. Then he talks about the hellfire till they feel that they are it's going to touch them. And see how he reacts with his companions, depending on their iman. Someone ignorant, jahil, there is one way to deal with him. Someone who knows the deen, another way to deal with him. You all know the hadith. When the Bedouin passed urine in the masjid, he didn't do anything. He told the Sahaba, leave him until he finishes. Then he told them, bring bucket of water and pour it on the plate. And then he started teaching him. But when he saw one of his companions has a ring of gold in his finger, he himself pulled it out and threw it away. This is what the prophet did. He pulled it out and threw it away. See, what is wrong with one of you? He put this amber of fire in his around his finger. And he left angry, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba told the companion, pick it and sell it. He said, no, I will not take it and pick it, because the Prophet threw it away. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here, he didn't tell him, would you mind removing this ring? No, he pulled it and threw it away. So the da'wah, there are many techniques, and the da'i should know when to use this style, this technique, and that technique. Rusulan mubashirina wa mundirin. So Allah sent messengers. Mubashirin, they give glad tidings, glad news. At the same time, they are warners. Prophet, he said once when he was talking to Quraysh, Ana al-Nadhir al-Uryan. I warn you, I am the naked warner. What is this naked warner? The Arabs, before Islam, if there is something horrible is happening, a tribe is going to attack another tribe. An enemy is advancing to attack them. So the vanguards of this tribe who saw the advancement of the enemy, he would run to inform his tribe to prepare themselves. And in order to show them the graveness and of the danger and the threat, he would remove his clothes and he would be naked. So that from far away, when they see him naked, they know there is something horrible, bad news. Bad news. So that is the meaning of the naked warner. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told his people, I am warning you. Okay. The next slide, there's Jahannam, there's extreme punishment no one can bear. Rusulan mubashirina wa mundirin. Then Allah explained why he sent the messengers as bringers of good news and warners. Why? Rusulan mubashirina wa mundirin li Allah. So that لألا يكون للناس على الله حجة بعد الرسل. So that mankind will have no argument, no right, no case to raise, no argument against Allah after the message. In order to stop us from defending ourselves on the day of resurrection by giving lame excuses. Oh, our Lord, no one came to us. We were unaware, uninformed. Had you informed us, we would have obeyed you. We would have listened to your teachings. So Allah knows our nature. And he knows the nature of a human being. Very argumentative. And especially when he's in a bad position and weak position. He gives lame excuses. So Allah said, now I sent you the messengers so that you will never open your mouth on the day of resurrection. So you will not have any solid ground to stand on. You will never have any justification for your sinfulness, rebelliousness, and disobedience. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. Okay, so that mankind will have no argument, no proof and evidence to produce to support their case. They don't have anything against Allah. Because Allah knows people will argue on that day. So that's why he sent the messengers to warn them. Then Allah said, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. I want you always, my dear brothers and sisters, to see how the ayah ends and the names that Allah mentioned. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا. Aziz is almighty, all exalted. One who cannot be defeated. The most powerful, Aziz. But this might is also associated with wisdom. Wisdom is Hakim. So the power with wisdom. That's why he will never wrong anyone because he's all wise. Yes, he's almighty, but he's all wise. All wise. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Also Allah says, my dear brothers and sisters, in Surah Al-Isra, Ayah 15. من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا. سبحان الله. Whoever chooses to be guided, it's only for their own good. And whoever chooses to stray, it's only to their own loss. No soul burdened with sin will bear the burden of another. And we would never punish a people until we have sent a messenger to warn them. This is the justice. This is the adil. This is the divine justice. من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه. See, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah is not in need of any one of us. Don't feel if you are praying, fasting, doing some additional ibadat, that Allah is in need of that. Whatever we do, it is for ourselves. It's for our own selves. Allah is not in need of it. So whether you obey Allah or disobey him, you are the loser. That is not going to harm Allah and affect him. He has angels worshiping him 24/7. All the time. They are engaged in ibadah. So who are you if you don't worship him? Everything he created worships him. Everything. Your own garment, praises Allah and celebrates his praises. Your own garment, your own selves, they praise Allah. Everything glorifies Allah. So if you decided to disobey him, you are ruining and destroying yourself only. Nobody else. So never think that Allah is in need of you, or is in need of your ibadah, or in need of your salah, or zakah, or hajj. Or if you give zakah, or you give sadaqah, or you give charity, you feel, come on, down to earth. Ask Allah to accept it from you. Do the ibadah, and then cry and beg Allah to accept it. That's how the Salaf were. They obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they showed their humility, and they shed their tears and beg Allah and cry to him to accept it. We are servants, we are slaves to our master. keep this in mind, my dear brothers and sisters. We have always to work how to make ourselves slaves, servants of Allah. How to actualize the ubudiyyah, the servitude, how to bring it, how to actualize it in our life. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah subhanahu wa ta'ala rahimahullah said, whenever I am confronted and faced or came across any issue, mas'ala, fiqh mas'ala, issue, fiqh issue, and I cannot digest it, I cannot understand it, I cannot comprehend it, I start the dhikr. Istighfar, asking Allah to forgive me because I know this is because of my sins. Until Allah makes me understand it and gives me this ilm, this fath from His presence. He would go and pray in places that are deserted to show His humility before Allah. So always show this, and Allah laughs, my dear brothers and sisters. He laughs to see us always humble, always. We humble ourselves before Him. He loves that. So Allah says, "Man ihtada fa innama yahtadi li nafsihi." So whoever chooses to be guided, to follow the deen, it's only for their own good. We are the fuqara, we are the poor, we are the ones who are dependent and in need of Allah. فَإِنَّمَا يَحْتَدِي لَنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضُلُّ عَلَيْهَا. And whoever chooses to go astray, do you think you're harming Allah? Miskeen. Wallahi miskeen. You are the enemy for yourself. A human being is an enemy for him, against him on his own self or her own self. You are harming yourself. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضُلُّ عَلَيْهَا. You see today some who became murtad and they are on the net. I was a Muslim. I left Islam to the hellfire. We will not shed tears over you. Who cares? You left Islam. Are you going to harm the deen? Subhanallah. The day you left the deen, hundreds and thousands, they became Muslims. You harm no one. Why did you leave Islam? Because Islam is imperfect? No. Because you want to follow your desires. And Islam tells you no. There are limits. There are regulations. You have to live within the limits set by Allah. That's right. I became Christian because Christianity makes sense. The Holy Trinity makes sense, or the unity, the oneness of Allah. Three equal one makes sense, or one. The Creator is one, not three. So So you left Islam because you want to follow and worship your own desires and whims. And you harm no one but yourself. Allah says it clearly. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ إِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. And whoever chooses to stray, it's only to their own loss. You are the loser. I'm not a practicing Muslim. I'm not practicing Muslim anymore. I remove my hijab. You see how people they deal with Allah? I will show you. I will remove my hijab. What are you talking? When Allah told you to put the hijab on, not He is in need of that. It is for your own safety, for your own benefit, to protect you from the lustful eyes, from the hungry wolves, from those immoral men. Everyone wants to have you. That's why Allah told you to cover yourself, to protect you. No, I will remove it. I will not be dressing decently. I will be showing my body. You became so cheap. Before, it was so valuable. But now, you become so cheap. You're not dressing, covering your body. Everyone is looking at your body. You became a source of evil. You became a mobile advertisement for the shaitan, inviting the people towards sinfulness and wickedness. You're the loser. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. You're not going to harm anyone except yourself. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. See the justice in Islam. This is the justice in Islam. In Christianity, what they say? God killed His own Son to redeem us, to save us from the inherited sin that our father committed in heaven. So in order, instead of punishing the culprit, the one who committed the sin, according to their belief, you punish someone who is innocent, who didn't do anything, and you kill him. And let that one who committed the sin to go. Is this justice? Leaving the one who committed the sin and kill someone who is innocent, that is justice? This is what Christianity is about. God killed His own Son for us, when we are the ones, the human beings, are the ones who disobeyed our father, Adam alayhi salam. I'm talking about from their own perspective. We Muslims, we know. Our father Adam alayhi salam, he forgot and he disobeyed Allah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cried to Allah, repented, Allah accepted his repentance. Finish. And Allah was giving that as a training session, training Adam. Because before he created him, he told the malaika, I'm going to place him on the earth, not on the Jannah. But he is training Adam alayhi salam. As Ibn Sa'di rahimahullah said, anyone had been in the place of Adam would have done the same thing. Why? Because he forgot. Secondly, he didn't know anything about lying, and the shaitan lied to him. So he, when he told him, eat from this tree, and he forgot that Allah warned him, he ate. Very simple. But the Christians, they say no. Because Adam committed the sin, so Allah has to kill his own son. Why? He didn't do anything. The son didn't do anything. Or he killed his own self. He killed himself. Because they are saying the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And this verse is fabricated according to their own scholars. When they checked the ancient manuscripts, they didn't find there. It's not there. Since there are three that were recorded in heavens, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, this is fabricated verse, which is the foundation and the base. Christianity is based on this. See what the Islam teaches us. The justice, the adil. Only the culprit will be held accountable. Nobody else. Nobody else. Not you leave the culprit and you kill somebody else instead and punish someone who's innocent, who didn't do anything. And you call that justice. No. So Allah says, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul burdened with sin will bear the burden of another. The soul that is burdened with sin will be held accountable. The sinner himself will be held accountable. Not somebody else. Not somebody else. That is justice. That is adil. No soul burdened with sin will bear the burden of another. The father did something, we don't punish his son or his brother or his daughter or his wife. No. He is the culprit. That's it. No soul burdened with sin will bear the burden of another. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, when she heard the hadith of the Prophet sallam, that the deceased will be punished in his grave because of the bewailing, the crying, the lamentation of his family. And he didn't hear this hadith from the Prophet sallam. And she's alima, she's a scholar, she's faqiha. She understands the Quran. So immediately she objected. The hadith is narrated, related by Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab. She didn't hear it. And there are many ahadith she didn't hear and she objected. And the ulama, they did not accept her objection because she was denying and negating. For example, she said, the Prophet, I've never seen the Prophet passing urine standing. I never saw him. When she heard that the Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه said, the Prophet ﷺ came to a dunghill and he passed urine while standing. So she said, I never seen him. So the ulama said, yes. But Hudhayfa said, he saw. So Hudhayfa has more knowledge here, additional knowledge that you don't have. So we cannot reject the hadith of Hudhayfa because he didn't see him. He saw him. This is one objection for Aisha رضي الله عنها. Another objection, she said, when she heard that the Prophet ﷺ said three things, they will nullify one salah if they pass in front of you. A woman, a donkey, and the dog. He said, you equated us to the donkeys and dogs. So she didn't accept this narration. She thought that the narrator didn't hear clearly or something. Because she said, I used to sleep in front of the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ is praying towards me, towards my body. I am in front of him and he's praying and I'm in front of him. And you are saying a woman will cut one salah, will nullify one salah. I am in front of him and he's praying. So the ulama said, her objection is not valid. Why? Because she was, her body is static, not moving. She's sleeping, not moving. And the hadith say, yaqta, crosses. If she crosses, if she passes, yaqta. فعل مضارع, present continuous tense. There is movement, there is action. Had she said, I passed in front of him and he didn't repeat her salah, then her understanding and objection would be valid. But she said, I was sleeping in front of him. The hadith says, movement, action. Another instance where she also objected, the hadith where Sayyidina Umar said that the Prophet ﷺ said the deceased will be punished for what his family do and the bewailing and lamentation and crying of his family. So she used this ayah. She said, Allah is saying, وَلَا تَجْرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul burden with sin, will bear the burden of another. Why should he be punished? His family, they are the ones who are crying and slapping their cheeks and pulling their hairs, the women. Why should he be punished for that? So she thought there is a contradiction between this ayah and the hadith. And in reality, there will never be any contradiction between hadith and ayah and the Quran. So the ulama, they said, no. He will be punished because he did not warn his family. He didn't tell them before he died. I don't want anyone to cry. I don't want anyone to slap the cheeks. I don't want anyone to bewail and all that stuff. Because he didn't do that. And he knows this is what is going to happen. He knows that. That's why he will be punished. Had he warned them, he would not be punished. So that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, you warn your family and you write in your will, I am innocent. I wash my hands of any bewailer, anyone who lamentates, anyone who Slap their cheeks. Write that in your will and warn them. And if they do these things, you will not be punished. And you will not be held accountable because you already warned them. So no contradiction between the ayah and the hadith, as our mother understood, radiallahu anha. ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. Then Allah ended the ayah. وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا. سبحان الله. And we would never punish a people, anyone, until we have sent a messenger to warn them. To warn them. Subhanallah. That's why the people between who died in this duration, the duration between after Isa alayhi salam, the ascension of Isa alayhi salam, and the coming of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This period, no prophet came. No one between Isa alayhi salam and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the people who died in this period, they are called the people of Al-Fatra, Ahlul Fatra. Because there is pause, no messengers. So what will happen to them on the day of resurrection? They will be given a chance. And they will be tested on the day of resurrection. If they pass the test, they will go to the Jannah. If they fail, they will go to the hellfire. And anyone whose situation is similar to the people of the Fatra, they will be tested on the day of resurrection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil. And He's not going to punish anyone until that one is aware. And we would never punish a people until we have sent a messenger to warn them. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mulk. That the malaika, they rebuke and blame the people when they are thrown into the hellfire. What brought you to the hellfire? No warning came to you? And they admit, as Allah said in Surah Al-Mulk, from ayah 8 to 11. كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير قالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير. Every time a group is cast into it, into the hellfire, its keepers, the keepers of the hellfire, will ask them, did a warner not come to you? No warner came to you? They will reply, yes, a warner did come to us, but we denied. We denied and said, Allah has revealed nothing. Allah has revealed nothing. This is the arrogance. You are extremely astray. They are telling the warners, the messenger. And they will say, if only we had been listening or reasoning, had we reasoned, had we used our intellect and intelligence, we would not be among the companions of the blaze, the hellfire. And so they will confess their sins. So away with the residents of the place. Suhqan, woe to them. Also Allah said in Surah Al-Kahf, this to show you the divine justice of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah says in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 49, ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها وجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. And the record of deeds will be placed open. Read your records. And you will see the criminals fearful of that within it when they are seeing all the deeds are jotted down or recorded on this day, at this time. And they will say, oh, woe to us. What is this book that leaves nothing small or great except that it has enumerated it, counted it? And they will find what they did present before them. Your Lord does injustice to no one. Your Lord does injustice to no one. وما رب ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. Glory be to you, our Lord. الله سبحانه وتعالى العدل الملك الكبير المتعال الرحمن الرحيم الغفور الودود الشكور سبحانه وتعالى. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى forgive us our ignorance, our faults, our sins, our mistakes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompass us in His mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we meet Him and He is pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficial knowledge and the righteous deed. May Allah guide our ummah to the haqq. Ameen. May Allah guide our hearts to the haqq and unite our hearts to the haqq upon the haqq. Ameen. And may Allah reward you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakum Allahu khayra. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير شيخ سالم. Brothers and sisters, now we will begin the question and answers time. Kindly send in your questions as fast as possible. You can ask as usual, verbally also, by raising your hands and asking to ask the questions directly. We have received some written questions already. We will begin with those, inshallah. The first question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Is it transgression in dua to ask Allah to make the day of judgment easy and short for us?
No, it is not transgression. Because here, to make it short and easy in us, from our own perspective, so that we don't feel the torture and the agony and the pain and what the supplicant is saying, that he wants to be in the shade of the mighty throne. So that he will not go through the suffering that others will go through it. So you are praying to Allah to make it easy on you. Okay. So if that is your intention, then there is no harm, inshallah. Next.
Brothers and sisters, if you have questions, please send them in fast, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Can I give Quran on behalf of deceased father as sadaqa jariyah?
The answer, yes. If the masjid, of course, some masajids, maybe they don't have copies of the Quran, so you buy some copies of the Quran and put it in the masjid, yes. No problem with that, inshallah.
Sheikh, that was our final question for tonight. Actually, one has just come through, Sheikh. We can take that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How should a man deal with a wife who insults him and finds no value in him?
Imam?
How can a man?
Okay. صبر جميل if you feel there is hope that he can be reformed and he can reform her character and she can improve and change her attitude. And especially if you have children and you don't want to resort to the talaq because the evil will be greater. So the lesser evil is to be patient and pray for her guidance and work on her iman and try to improve her character. But if life becomes unbearable, miserable, and it's affecting you and affecting everyone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the leeway and the provision when the marital life becomes impossible to live together, then it is better for both of them to leave each other. And Allah will bless you with the pious wife, inshallah. So give it a try. Try to improve her. But if all attempts failed and you feel life is impossible and she is not now, as Allah said, that they are the second, that a woman is your second, is your the place of peace and tranquility. But she is not second. She is hellfire. She is hell on earth. She is hell on earth for her husband. Okay. So if you feel that you tried your best, all efforts are exhausted and no hope, then Allah has given you the right to terminate this relationship. But that is the last thing. The last thing one resorts to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide her. May Allah improve her character. May Allah give her good akhlaq and good manners. Ameen. Is this clear to the questioner?
I mean, it is clear, inshallah. Before we take the next few questions, let us hear from Abu Diop. Assalamu alaikum. Go ahead, Abu Diop.
Walaikum salam. Sheikh, I have, assalamu alaikum. I have two questions. My question is regarding the dua of that Allah commanded Nuh. Nuh alayhi salam.
The sound is not clear.
Oh, sorry, I'm walking. I was saying I have two questions. The first one is regarding the dua Rabbi anzilni munzala mubarakan wa anta khayrul munzilin. Is it permissible to recite that after dismounting any means of transportation?
I mean, that dua is not what we don't see in the sunnah. That when you dismount, you say this. Sahaba, when they are coming down, they make tasbih. So when you come down, you make tasbih. And when you ascend, you make takbir. Is it clear to you, Akhi? Maybe we...
Abu Diop, unmute your mic again, please.
Yes, I meant when I get out of a car, for example, can I say that, or there's no evidence?
That's why I said there's no evidence in the Sunnah.
Alhamdulillah, Sheikh. Alhamdulillah. And my second question is regarding prayer when the imam is not there. Sometimes I pray in a masjid where the imam takes time to come. It takes like 10 or 15 minutes, and maybe like Fajr, sometimes like we are scared it's going to be day and he's not there. So can someone pray without the imam? Without the imam?
You see, the imam is the one who is in charge of the masjid and the jama'ah. So always we can give him, additional few minutes. Okay, because maybe you never know, something happened to him last minute. But if this becomes a habit, that every prayer he comes late, then people can talk to him. But if it happens once in a blue moon, something happened to him, so he's late, so we can wait. We can wait. But then if we feel that he's not going to have to come, maybe he overslept or something, yes, then someone who is hafiz or knowledgeable can lead the salah, yes. But we should not come immediately and lead the salah. Maybe he is just 1 minute late and he is stepping in and someone started leading. That is his right. That is his right. Is it clear to you, Akhi?
Naam, Allah, it's clear. It's clear. Barakallahu feekum, Shaykh. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, Sheikh, let us go to the next few questions, inshallah. The next question. How should a man... Okay, we've covered this one already. Sheikh, our death, the day we die, is it written? Can it be changed by dua? A brother lost his brother due to illness a few months before he died. Someone informed him that it might be a certain illness his brother was suffering from, and he didn't take action. After a few months, the deceased died from the speculated illness. The brother is now regretting that if he acted sooner, they may have saved the deceased. Please advise.
Alhamdulillah. You see, when something happened, we say, قَدَّ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. We don't use if here. We don't say, had I done this, he wouldn't have died, all these things. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ لَوْ Tafta amal shaytan. This law opens the door for the devil, for the shaytan. So a person will be always in this state of regret and remorse and sadness, etc. We tie the camel, as you know. We take all the precautions. That's why if someone falls sick, he seeks medication. As mentioned in the hadith, there is no illness or disease except there is a cure for it. Except one illness, and that is old age. No cure for it. Apart from that, all diseases are curable. Are curable. So we need to seek medication. And we should not, if I know that this brother or this son of your son or daughter, the situation deteriorates and I'm not taking an action, no, I'm responsible. So this is what we should learn. We should learn that we follow what Allah commands, what the Prophet ﷺ teaches us. And after we exhausted and we tried our best, what we can as human beings, خلاص. That is the day this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, decided to invite him to take his soul. So the day of death is fixed. But when? We don't know. So when I am making dua, will that delay it? Here, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that one's lifespan can be prolonged in one hadith. And that's why the sadaqah extends and prolongs one's lifespan and being kind to your kith and kin, your relatives. So the ulama, the way they interpreted this hadith and explained it, they said the increase in one's lifespan here, it is the barakah. The barakah. So Allah blesses your lifespan. What does it mean? You are now in your 60s. Throughout your life, you were not doing much and you missed your prayers and you disobeyed Allah a lot. But towards the end of your life, Allah put barak on your time. And you came back to him. And you are always in state of homage and humbleness and crying and praying at night and fasting. So the last few years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you to do righteous deeds more than what you did in the previous years. So Allah put barakah in the last portion of your lifespan, as if it is increased. The barakah, because you did a lot of things. This is one interpretation. The other interpretation is that Allah has written for us, for each one of us, two limits, has given us two limits, upper limit and minimum. Okay, so there are two limits. If I cut the ties, okay, I cut the ties with my relatives, I will reach only the lower limit. Okay, so the lower limit is 60 years, the higher limit 70 years. So if I cut the ties with my relatives, I reach only the minimum, not the maximum limit. So I die at the age of 60. If I do righteous deeds and be kind to my relatives, Allah allows me to reach the maximum, 70. And this is ghaib. It's not known to me. It's not known to me. But no doubt, the day I die, that is my day. No doubt. So that's why, because this is ghaib, unknown to me, I should work and do righteous deeds and be good to my relatives, the kindred, so that I will reach the maximum, the high limit. And it is unknown to me. So now this brother should not feel sad and bad about himself. Yes, the day your brother passed away, that is his day, no doubt. Okay. And now you should only do dua for him and sadaqah and these things, which will benefit him, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy upon his soul. Ameen. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. If not, the questioner can ask again. The next question. Dear Honorable Sheikh, what about marrying a Muslim woman who believes that calling dead walis can help this life? Is it okay or not permissible?
No, it's not permissible because she is mushrika. This is shirk. So don't marry her, because that's what she is going to teach to your children, to feel that someone else besides Allah helps and support and you can ask and call upon. This is shirk. Shirk, and takes a person out of the fold of Islam. So don't marry her. If her da'wah, if she leaves such beliefs and accept the belief of the correct belief of the Muslims, alhamdulillah. But to marry her while she is having this and she is adamant and holds such a belief, no, don't marry her. Marry a Muslimah who is muwahida, real monotheist. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, this is clear, Sheikh. That was our final question. If you'd like to conclude, Jazakallah khair.
Barakallah feekum, Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and in the Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely for your patience and attendance, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remaining steadfast in this beautiful deen, deen al-Islam, till we meet him and he is pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, the same timing, inshallah. I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdullahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.